Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be together. Thank you for the life that you gave us and the time that we have to learn of you to do your will. Bless our time together this morning. Give us wisdom, light, and understanding to follow you in all your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Today we're going to be reading out of Proverbs chapter 6. And it starts out, "My son, if you assume the debt of your friend, you will deliver your hand to an end. For a man's own lips become a strong snare to him, and he is conquered by the utterances of his mouth. My son, do what I command you, and you will save yourself. For you came into hands of evil things through your friend. Do not be faint, but provoke even the friend for whom you assumed a debt. Do not give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids, for that you may be saved as a gazelle from the snares, and as a bird from a trap." This was written about being careful not to take on a responsibility that would get you into beyond your capabilities and have you wind up paying off a debt that you couldn't pay off, trying to help somebody else out. And one thing it made me think of in relationship was the way we believe about Christ's sacrifice for us. And the way it speaks here in the beginning, it says, "My son, if you assume the death of your friend, you will deliver your hand to an enemy." And the way we believe about Christ's sacrifice for us is that the price that he paid and the sacrifice that he made was inflicted upon him by his and our enemy. And whether or not this is a prophecy about Christ, that's actually what happened. That's what he did. He assumed a debt for us, and he was delivered into the hands of his enemy. But unlike the end of the story here, saying that it would be a snare and a trap. For Christ, it wasn't a snare and a trap, because death couldn't trap him, and it couldn't overcome him and become a snare to him. He was even able to assume this debt and overcome it, and escape the trap and the snare of death that was laid upon him by his enemy. As we continue on here, it talks about another subject. One more thing here it mentions. It says, "But provoke even your friend whom you assumed a debt." And doesn't that what Christ does for us? He provokes us. He provokes us to righteousness and following him. As it continues on, it says, "Compare yourself with the ant, O sluggard, and be zealous when you see his ways, and become wiser than he. For although he has tilled no land, neither anyone can compel him, nor any master to rule him, yet he prepares all his food in the summer, and makes his provisions abundant in the winter. But go to the honeybee, and learn how she is a worker, and how solemnly she does her work, whose labors kings and common people use for health, and she is desirable to all and glorious. And although she is weak in bodily strength, she leads the way in honoring wisdom. How long, O sluggard, will you be idle, and when will you arise from sleep? You sleep a little, you sit down a little, you doze a short while, you fold your hands on your chest a little, then poverty comes to you as an evil traveler, and neediness as a swift runner. But if you are diligent, your harvest shall come to you as a fountain, and neediness as an evil runner shall desert you." Okay, one thing that stands out to me here, it says, "Oh, compare yourself with the ant. And it says, although he has still no land, nor neither anyone to compel him, nor any master to rule him. And isn't that how God wants us to follow him? Without us needing to be compelled or manipulated, or somebody just ruling over us, forcing us to do something. He does what he does out of his own free will and his own voluntary decision to do what's right. And this reminded me of another passage in Psalms that teaches us how God wants to have us to follow him. In Psalms 32, verse 9, it's the verse before verse 9, it says, I will give you understanding, and I will teach you in the way you should walk. I will fix my eyes upon you. Do not be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding. You squeeze their jaws with bit and bridle, lest they come near you. And I believe it's the King James that says, be not like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding and have to be with bit and bridle to be under control. How does that relate to us? If we know there's something that we need to do, or something that we're doing that's not right, do we have to wait for our parents to tell us not to do it when we know we're doing something wrong? If we know that there's something that we should be doing and we're not doing it, do we have to wait for somebody to tell us, and then wait for somebody to tell us again, and then threaten us with some kind of punishment before we do it? Is that how we want to be? Or if we know what we're supposed to be doing, should we just do it because that's what we want to do and that's how we want to be? Because that's how the ant is. It just goes and does what it needs to do without some master or some ruler telling him every step and everything he has to do, is what it's saying here. And I think one thing that relates to this is preparing his food in the summer and makes his provisions abundant for the wintertime. See, if we assume this attitude and this type of living now, it'll become part of the way we are and the way we conduct ourselves later on in life. But if we don't develop these habits now, if we just have to have somebody telling us every little thing we need to do, and we're not going to do the right thing unless somebody stops us, what kind of person is that going to make you later on in life? The decisions we make now and the way we decide to live and how we decide to conduct ourselves now is going to develop the habits and the way we are later on in life. We can make abundant provisions for ourselves now when we're young. That will be a great help to us as we choose to follow the Lord later on in life. Continue on here, it says, a man who is without discernment and is lawless does not walk in good ways, but he winks with an eye, he makes a sign with his foot, and he teaches with the wave of his hand, and with a perverse heart, he constantly schemes evil things. Such a man causes trouble in a city, therefore his destruction comes suddenly, a deep and incurable wound, for he rejoices in everything the Lord hates. And he shall be broken because of his soul's uncleanness. A haughty eye, an unrighteous tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil thoughts, and feet that hasten to do evil. And a false witness, he kindles injustice and causes quarrels between brethren. My son, guard the laws of your father. Do not depart from the rules of your mother. Fasten them continually to your soul. And wear them as a collar upon your neck. And we'll continue on here. When you walk about, bring along this commandment, and let it be with you. And as you sleep, let it guard you. And then when you arise, it may speak to you. For a commandment of law is a lamp and a light, and the way of life is reproof and instruction, that you may keep yourself from a married woman and from the slanderous tongue of a strange woman. Do not let the desire of beauty conquer you, neither be caught by her eyes, nor captivated by her eyelids. For the value of a prostitute is only one loaf, and such a woman hunts for the precious souls of men. Shall anyone bind fire to his bosom, and his garments not be burned? Or will anyone walk about on coals of fire, and not burn his feet? Likewise is the one who goes into a married woman. He shall not be guiltless, nor any who touch her. It is not surprising if anyone who steals is caught, for if he steals it, he may feel his hungry soul. But if he is caught, he will repay sevenfold. And by giving all his goods, he shall deliver himself. But the adulterer, through lack of discernment, obtains the destruction of his soul. He bears both pain and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away forever. For the anger of her husband is full of jealousy. He will not spare in the day of judgment. He will not take any ransom in exchange for his hatred. He will be reconciled. Nor will he be reconciled with many gifts. This is another warning admonition that's given time and time and time throughout the wisdom of Solomon. Proverbs is against the danger of wrong relationships with women. It was even mentioned in the last chapter we read, chapter 5, too. So we'll close with that, and you boys can do your lessons, and I'll think of something for next week's lesson in a little bit. Lord bless you all.
We're supposed to find a verse about remembering your Creator or meditating. And in Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the hard times come and the years arrive when you will say, 'I have no will to face them.'"
Psalm 77:11, "Lord, I remember what you have done. I remember the amazing things you've done long ago." And what that means is you looked at the trees and remember that you made the trees, and you looked at and you remember that you made the grass and stuff like that.
Well, the same as Roger, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the years come that you say, "I have no will to face them."
I got Psalm 118:24-118. And your testimonies are my meditation, and your counsel, your ordinances are my counsel.
Proverbs 3:1-2. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you."
I got Psalm 45:11-12. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our protector."
Psalms 18:15. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always pleasing before you, O Lord, my helper and redeemer."
Psalm 119:147-148. "I arose at midnight and cried out, I hoped in your words. My eyes awoke before dawn that I might meditate on your teachings."
Psalm 62:7-8. "If I remembered you on my bed, I meditated on you at daybreak. For you are my helper, and under the shelter of your wings I will greatly rejoice."
I had the same as Randall. Psalm 63:7-8. If I remember you in my bed, I will meditate on you at daybreak, for you are my helper, and in the shelter of your wings I will greatly rejoice.
Joshua 1:8. The book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may have the understanding to do all the things written therein. Then you will both prosper, make your ways prosperous, and have understanding.
Psalm 76, verses 12 and 13. I remember the Lord's works, for I will remember His wonders of old, and I will meditate on your works, and I will consider your ways.
Joshua 1:8. The book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may have the understanding to do all the things written therein. Then you will both prosper, make your ways prosperous, and have understanding.
I was thinking about Christ and how He came to this earth, and He was God in the flesh. And He didn't have His own agenda. He didn't think about pleasing Himself, but He became a servant to all men. And I'm paraphrasing a verse. I couldn't find it, but it talks about God, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who came and thought it not robbery to become like God or God. I don't know what it says there, but He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And that's a good thing to meditate on. And because so often it's easy to be selfish and think about our own, what would please us, and not think about others like Christ did.
Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the troublesome, but his will is in the law of the Lord, and His law He meditates day and night.